God bless you. If you like, you can take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews. Without Jesus Christ, man is lost. He is the only one that can get you to the true God. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that's only begotten Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. And the world is definitely in need and lacking if they don't understand Jesus Christ. And it has to be Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people talk about God, and that's wonderful. But God, without Jesus Christ, you can't get to Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, as you make your way to Hebrews, I'm going to make a pit stop at Ephesians. Years ago, my wife and I went to a marriage seminar. And our intention was to become better prepared so that we could help the church. And so there were a lot of people there. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And one point of the seminar, the men broke off and went into one room, and the women broke off and went into another room. And they were divided by this. It was a big motel, right? And they were divided by this wall. But it's this kind of temporary wall where you can like hear them roar when somebody made a joke and vice versa. So they were teaching the Bible, and bless his little heart, there was this man in the back, and he's like this. Now, you know, there's time to ask questions and stuff, but not if you have to stop and answer every question, you'll never get done the meeting. So the verse that the teacher read was Ephesians 5. It said this in verse 23. Go to Genesis. No, it's for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And boy, did this guy find offense with that. Now, usually the women find offense with that. And I can understand that, and that's for another time. But this guy found offense with that. And he's like this, and the guy's trying to teach. And so finally he just spouts out. He says, I think that this and this, and he's making this case for women, which, believe me, women are wonderful. Without women, men couldn't do. I got no problem with that, but that's what the Bible says. And so he's saying all these things, and he says, well, that's what he says. And then this is what he does. This is what the teacher did. The teacher did this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. But women should have this, and women that, and he went on, and this is how he answered. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body, and he is the savior of the church. And he kept spouting on and spouting on and spouting on. And I'm thinking to myself, if I was up there, what would I do? And this is what he did. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And this went on about 6 or 7 times until finally, the last time he went back, and every time he responded the same way. And in that moment of time, I learned a valuable lesson. And the lesson was this. If the word of God says thus, you have no right to try to defend God's word. You're not a defense attorney. If the guy couldn't receive what the word of God said, he's not going to receive what you said. And that's what that man taught me. And what that man taught me is that if this guy doesn't have enough respect and decency to accept what's written on the page, he's never going to believe the teacher. It was a great lesson. It was one of the great lessons I learned at that seminar. Tonight, I'm going to share with you something similar. Probably going to ruffle your feathers. But my answer to you is going to be simply to read the Word of God. And if you got an argument with it, then I suggest you argue with God and not with me, because I'm just going to read you the word. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, don't worry about your feathers. If they get ruffled, God can fix your feathers. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The Greek reads for impossible. It cannot be done. That's the definition of it. I'm not going to give you the Greek word and get all fancy with you, but that's the definition of it. Get yourself a lexicon, get yourself a concordance, look it up for yourself. But that's what the Greek word means. It cannot be done. It's impossible. Impossible. Let me say it another way. In order to please God, we need faith. That's what that verse is saying. The first part of it. Faith is what pleases God. We cannot please God without faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, I told you that story for a reason. Let me read it to you again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you believe that? Yes. That's what the Bible says. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, do you think that God would state something here in Hebrews, such an important matter as this, and then leave it up to mankind to determine what exactly faith is? Because whatever faith is, without it, it's impossible to please God. So if I were to go around this room with this group, just there's not a lot here tonight, but if I were, and I was to say to you, get a piece of paper and write down on a little piece of paper and don't sign it what you think faith is, I would be willing to venture a bet that by the time I got these papers back on my desk, I'd have at least three different answers, maybe. But I'd venture to say that. Of what you believe or what you think or what your opinion is about faith and what it is. Now, if it's impossible to please God without faith, and Mary says faith is one thing, and Steve says faith is another, then who am I going to believe? Because I want to believe what's right, because I want to be what? Pleasing to God. So do you think God will leave it up to man to decide what faith is? Because man can make any kind of decision he wants to make and any kind of opinion he wants to have. Now that's good logic, right? But God doesn't leave it up to man. He wouldn't leave such an important matter in the hands of man to decide, number one, what faith is. Number two, how to acquire it. What faith is, and how do we get it? We want to know what it is, and we want to know how we can get it, because we want to be pleasing to God, right? Sure, it's right. Go to 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1. If God wouldn't leave the answer to his question in the hands of mankind, then the answer to his question should be answered by who?
God.
That's right. That's right. And that's what 1 Peter or 2 Peter says in chapter 1, verse 20. It says, knowing this first, the no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We know this how? Second, third, after the teaching, a week later. No. It says, knowing this what? At the outset, in the beginning. I want you to know that if you go down that road, the bridge is out. That's a good time to know it when? When you're at the fork. Knowing this first. The no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. The Greek for the word private is the word idios. The Greek reads one's own, your own opinion. God did not leave the interpretation of his word up to man. God did not leave the interpretation of his word up to your opinion or my opinion. God left the interpretation of his word up to God. And if God left the interpretation of his word up to God, where do you think we will find God's interpretation of his word?
In the word.
In the Bible. That's right. In the Bible. So if I dare not give you my opinion and you dare not give me your opinion, because we know this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of have any private interpretation, the only opinion that really matters is who?
God.
It's God's. It's God. Now, Hebrews said, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. The first part of the verse. Okay? Now, if I were to say to you, without a 2020 Mustang, it's impossible to please God. Would anybody be able to please God?
No.
Why?
Because it's not even out.
Because the 2020 Mustangs aren't here. They're not. It's not available. Right? So that means nobody gonna please God. My point is, do you think God would ask you to do something if it wasn't available? No, he's not a representative of Ford Motor Company. God says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please. That's what the word says. So you gotta know from the get-go, from the onstart, that faith must be available. Right? And the second thing you got to know is that the faith that pleases God must be available. Because God wouldn't ask you to have such a faith if it wasn't available. God wouldn't ask you to have a 2020 Mustang. You know why he wouldn't? First of all, he don't like Fords. Second of all, it's not available. He might ask you to have a Camaro. It's got to be available. So this kind of faith that pleases God must be available. And if it's going to be available and we're going to find out about it, where we go to look? In the Word, right? Go to Matthew chapter 7. Would God require, and it's a requirement because it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Would God require us to have faith, the kind of faith that pleases him, and then leave us clueless on where and how to find such a faith? Would he just say, now figure it out? No, I mean, God doesn't play games like that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Or what man of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You see? We wouldn't do that. Are we any better than God? No. God wouldn't do that either. If we ask God something, he would give us good. Do you understand? He wouldn't give us a stone. He wouldn't give us a scorpion. God would not demand that we have faith, the pleasing kind of faith, if it wasn't available. But because it is available, he requires it of us. Go to Romans chapter 10, please. So now, the question has to be, how do I get this God-pleasing faith? Where does this God-pleasing faith come from? Because it's this God-pleasing faith that I need so I can please him. Because without this kind of faith, without this God-pleasing faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, listen, nothing else will work. Your flowers won't do it. Your love notes won't do it. Your songs won't do it. They all have a purpose and a place. But according to what it says in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the problem with man has always been the same problem. Man has a problem with the integrity of God's word. Because God says something, and then when man looks at it, because of his intellect and his brilliant mind, he says, oh, that can't mean that. Yes, it does mean that. It means exactly that. Because if you can say it can't mean that, I can say that, oh, it can't be mean that Jesus Christ is the only name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And then what do you got? Nothing. No salvation. No nothing. You got a mess. You know what you got? Last time I checked, 5,800 religions in the United States alone. That's what you got. 5,800. And you know why? You only got one Bible. What's the problem? See, it's not the Bible. I don't know all the other answers, but I know that one. It's not the Bible's fault. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of what?
The word of God.
How does faith come?
Hearing.
Comes by hearing. By hearing the news? YSP? Yeah, they still around? Showing my age. No, by hearing what? The word of God. The word of God. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, God has told us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. But God has also told us where and how to get the faith that he accepts that pleases him. Faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing. And by hearing what? The word of God. If we don't have faith, it's not God's fault. We can't blame God if we don't have faith. You see? To blame God for our lack of faith in our lives is nothing more than ignorance, myself included. Look at Hosea chapter 4. Because God has just told you how faith comes. And God has just told you where faith comes from. He told you hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God. Hearing. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing. And hearing the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. So he tells you how it comes and he tells you where it comes from. From the word. From the word. From the word. Comes from his word. You hear his word. See? But if you don't understand, if you don't know, if you're looking for faith some other way, the faith that you get isn't going to be the kind that's going to get the job done, and it's not going to be the kind that pleases God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of what? Knowledge. That's what it says. Who's God talking to in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6?
His people.
His people. And they're what? Destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you know what the rest of the verse says? The rest of the verse says, because thou has rejected knowledge. Rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. The reason why the people were being destroyed was because of a lack of knowledge. But the person who was responsible to teach the people the knowledge of God rejected God's knowledge. And in turn, God rejected that man. In that day and in that time, it was called the priest. Because he refused to teach the knowledge of God. And because those people continued to sit under that wrong teaching, those people suffered the consequences. And what were the consequences? I will also forget thy what?
Children.
Children. You see it? It was the person who was teaching. His line of communication with the Father, his humility, his respect, his love, went down the tubes. And he wasn't able to receive the Word of God anymore. He wasn't able to teach the Word of God anymore. And in light of what he taught the people, it wasn't the Word of God. And those people were destroyed because what he was teaching them destroyed those people. The Word of God should build you up. The Word of God should encourage you. Now, if you're in an adulterous affair and you get confronted about it, don't blame the Word of God. Because that is the Word of God in your situation. Okay? If you're sinning and the Word confronts you, and you say, oh, I feel miserable after that fellowship, well, maybe you need to get your head out of your butt and line yourself up with God and feel happy. But the Word of God is going to build you up. It's going to edify you. It's going to shed light in dark places of your life. See? God's Word is full of faith. God's Word is full of faith. And as we hear God's Word and believe it in our hearts, we can receive this faith that His Word gives. Faith is a supernatural thing. People say, I have faith, I have this, I have... People, they misspeak. They have trust. They have confidence. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say faith comes any other way. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it says faith comes. And it tells you where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the Word of God. That's how it comes, and that's where it comes. It doesn't say it comes by this way, that way, or the other way. It says it comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how faith comes. Isaiah chapter 5, please. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes dried up with what? Thirst. Again, you see people going into captivity. Reason being, they don't know. They have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. Jeremiah chapter 8. You know, it says in Isaiah that the ox knoweth its crib and its master, but my people don't know me. Right? In other words, the ox is smart enough to know where home is and where to get dinner, but he says, my people don't even know me. That's pretty bad when people are compared to animals, and animals come out on top. Jeremiah 8, verse 7, the New International reads, even the stork in the sky knows her appointed season, and the dove and the swift and the thrush observe their times of migration. You know, you see the birds now, they're all starting to fly where? South. For the winter. They're not dumb. They know. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. How do you like that? God says even the birds know when it's time to fly south. And my people, they don't even know the requirements that I require of them. And you know why that is? Because the teaching. Because people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Those that are called and set in teaching positions to share God's word should be teaching God's people the knowledge of God's word, the true knowledge of God's word, so that people can be blessed and people can manifest the abundance of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. So if lack of knowledge is the cause of God's people being destroyed, what would the antidote to that be? Getting knowledge. Getting the knowledge of who? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We heard this in Manifestations twice about peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our what? says, doesn't say be added unto you. Right? It says it to be what? Now, does multiply get you there faster than addition? If you say 2 and 2 is 4, but if you say 2 times 100 is how much?
200.
How many 2s would you have to add up together to get? See, multiplication gets you there faster. And if you want grace and peace to be multiplied unto you, it comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, how does that work? Well, the more you learn about God and His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, then the more grace and the more peace you'll be able to enjoy in your life, because He's the Prince of Peace. Because of all the things that He gives us. Because the Father took everything and laid it on the back of our Lord Jesus. And He fought for us, and He won the battle for us. And when He ascended, He took captivity captive. And He took us up on high with Him. And we fight from victory, and we don't fight for victory now. See? Verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us, is the word hath past, present, or future tense?
Past.
It's past, isn't it? Does it say, according to His divine power, He will give unto you? Or maybe one day in a conditional state. No, it says what? He hath given unto us all things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He's given unto us what? How many things? If He's given to you all things, is anything missing? And it's already been done. He hath given it to us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. How do you get all of these things that pertain unto life and godliness? What's the rest of the verse say? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's through the knowledge of God. It's through the knowledge of Him. It's through the knowledge of Jesus. It's through the knowledge of the Word. He's given us all these things that we need, that we need. Now, this is a foundational truth. If you want faith, the only way to get it is from hearing God's word and believing it. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
The word
of God. It's that simple. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
You know what Webster says faith is? Says it's a belief in something that you can't prove, that there's no proof for. Now just listen for a minute. That's Webster's. Okay? The proof that faith is built on is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, and that brings faith. You understand? There's plenty of proof for faith. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 and everything in between. So somebody's wrong. Either Webster's wrong or the Bible's wrong. Now, which one you want to go with? I'm going to say that the Bible's right. Do you know why Webster has that definition? I'll tell you why Webster has that definition. Because that definition was tainted by the church. I won't say what church, but it's a big church. And this particular church would teach its congregation, just receive it by faith. That's what they would say. And some of the things that the leadership in that church would say to the people and then say, just take it by faith, those things weren't from the Word of God. Those things were things like indulgences, like things like purgatory, things like silliness that you have to confess your sins to a man and not to God. And when the people couldn't understand it, the result, the answer was take it by faith. In other words, they were using that answer to intimidate the people to say, how dare you question the church? That's how it came to play. And that's why that definition is skewed. You don't take things by faith that there's no proof for. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God goes out of His way to give you His word in written form, in the flesh, and in Himself, okay? His word, Jesus Christ and himself. He goes out of his way to make the word known unto you, to convince you, to prove to you, to show to you, look at what this is saying, so he can convince you and give you enough proof and evidence that you can trust it so faith can come. He goes out of his way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The what?
Evidence.
Evidence of things what? Not seen. You see, it's the evidence. There's plenty of evidence of God's word when it comes to faith. But man, he's got a whole different idea about it. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and believing God's word. It's not just hearing the word. A lot of people hear the word. That's not going to bring faith. What brings faith is when you hear the word, you believe it in your heart. When that happens, faith comes. Faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. You know what that means?
That's where it comes from.
It, where it comes from, and it's who it comes to. Faith cometh. Do you understand? It comes to you by hearing and believing the word of God. It comes to you. It's not something you have. It doesn't say it comes from you, does it? It says faith cometh to. There's a big difference from something coming from me and something coming to me. Faith cometh by hearing. It comes to you by hearing the word when you believe it. Faith is a gift of God. It's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual gift of God. Just like the love of God is a spiritual gift of God. He gives it to you when you're born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It comes into new birth. You don't have the love of God in you unless you're born again. You may have human love. You may have sensual love. But you don't have godly love. Because in order to have godly love, you got to have the Son of God living inside of you. Now, do you understand that? That's simple. You understand? It's the same with faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. When you believe it, it comes to you. It comes as a gift of God's grace. You don't have faith living inside of you unless you're born again of God's Spirit. I know a lot of people think opposite, but that's not what the Bible teaches. A lot of people teach, oh, you got to have faith, brother, to get this from God. You don't have faith. You can't manufacture faith. Faith is a spiritual reality and a gift given to you as you hear the word of God and believe it in your heart. It's conceived and then God gives it to you. It comes to you. That's what it says. That's what it means. But people got it all confused. And you know what happens when you confuse that? You confuse it into you got in to have something or do something to receive from God, when the truth of the matter is you have to hear the word and believe it so that you can receive from God, not give God. All right, just watch it. You'll see it. If you want faith for salvation, then you must hear the word of God with regards to salvation. And once you hear that word of God and believe it in your heart, at that point, God will give you faith when you believe in your heart, when you hear and believe. If you want faith for salvation, if you are new and don't know the Lord, and you want to know the Lord, and you want to get into heaven, and you want to get born again, you want to become a child of God, you want to become a brother of Jesus Christ, however you want to say it, doesn't much matter. Okay? You need to have faith for salvation. Now, if you want faith for salvation, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Specifically, you need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the word of God. Faith for salvation. Once you hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ, you're hearing the word of God. It's particular to salvation. You can believe it in your heart. When that's conceived in your heart, God will send you that salvation faith and you get born again. Romans 10, look at it. When you hear it confess and believe in your heart, God sends this saving faith to you. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith, which we what?
Preach.
The word of faith, which we what?
Preach.
Preach. Preach. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
In order to hear, somebody's got to be saying something. You understand? Somebody's got to be talking. Somebody's got to be speaking words. Somebody's got to be preaching. When somebody preaches the word of God, speaks the word of God, says the word of God, you can hear those words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of what? The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
You see? Because you hear the word regarding salvation. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. You hear it regarding salvation. You believe it and it says thou shalt be what? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what?
Salvation.
Salvation. Salvation. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what?
Heard.
How can you believe if you don't hear? It's talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, being saved. It's talking about salvation, salvation faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. How can they call upon him if they haven't heard? Heard what? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is hearing the word of God, which will bring faith that will produce salvation. You see it? How shall they hear without a what? Because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
It's simple. You hear the word of God. You believe it's conceived in your heart. At that moment, faith comes. Faith comes to you. You don't have faith to get it. How can you have faith to get faith? God gives you faith. Men are saved by hearing God's word. You cannot be saved and have faith without hearing God's word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? Now, you could say it comes some other way, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? My denomination? My teacher? No, by the word of God. What the word of God teaches. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Faith is a gift of God's grace that is imparted to you at the time of the new birth. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of what? Not of works, lest any man should argue, debate, or boast. If there was something you can do to obtain your salvation, would you agree that would be of yourself?
Yes.
If I could be real good and do a lot of good works and give a lot of money to charity and get saved by doing that, would that be of myself?
Yes.
Sure. All right, let me ask you this. If I could have faith to get saved, would that be of myself? To hell it wouldn't be. Oh, yes, it would. Because I don't have the faith to get saved. I don't have faith to get saved. It doesn't say that. Everybody thinks that they read over the verse. The verse doesn't say that. You know what the verse says? For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? Does it say faith comes of yourself? Does it say faith is manufactured because of how good you are? Does it say faith is your confidence in God and what you can do by yourself without Jesus Christ or without God's word?
No.
It doesn't say that. You know what it says? It says, by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
And that not of yourselves. Look, if you could have faith, that would be of yourself. Let me ask you this. You want to be saved on something you could have? Or do you want to be saved on something that Jesus accomplished for you?
The latter.
Oh, now everybody wants the latter, right? Well, you know, I could have made a mistake somewhere. That's what the scripture teaches. And then he goes on and he says, for those of you that want to argue, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you understand? You can't manufacture something that's spiritual. Now, once you get faith and God imparts it to you, because Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for God has given unto every man a measure of faith. God dealt to every man. Who does the dealing? You know, when you sit at the casino, you know what you got there? Shuffling these cards out? What's that called? He's the dealer. You understand? Do you have a card if he doesn't deal it to you?
No, not at all.
If you got a card he don't deal it to you, you know what happens? Ratso comes from South Philly, puts his hand on your shoulder, says, you coming with me, boy. Because you be having something you shouldn't have. Right? Mm-hmm. Who does the dealing?
God.
God deals out the measure of faith. God. Now, once you get it, it's yours. And you are a steward of it. And it can grow as you utilize it. But you don't have faith unless God gives it to you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people mess it up big time. Because they say, oh, I got to have faith so I can get this from God. Or I got to have faith so I can get this from God. That's true. But do you know how you get faith? From what?
Hearing.
Faith cometh by what?
Hearing the word of God.
So if you want to get born again, you hear the word with regard to salvation, and then God imparts to you that salvation. It's called saving faith, some people call it. That's how it works. Okay, moving right along, and I'll move quickly. Acts chapter 10. Guy's name was Cornelius. He was the leader of the Italian band. You know what happened? An angel appeared unto him. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up before God for a memorial. I am sent here to get you born again. Is that what the angel said? No. No. You know why? Because it's not the angel's job to get people born again. Because in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended, go into all the world and preach the what?
Gospel.
Speak words. When you preach, you speak words. When the words are about the gospel, that's people can hear. When people hear the word of God, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
That's why he said that. So he said, go and look for this guy named Peter. He lodges with this guy named Simon, the tanner, down by the seaside. You know the story? Sure you know the story. Let me show you something you don't know. Verse 6, Acts 10, 6. He lodgeth with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to what? Peter's going to tell him. So in order to tell him, he's going to have to do what?
Speak
what?
Words.
Words. Now Peter did this. Cornelius got born again. His household got born again. They spoke with tongues. The church was all Jewish at that time. This is the first conversion of Gentiles. The Jews got all upset. What's going on? Peter's get called on the carpet. He comes back. He's being examined in front of the council. And he reiterates the story of what happened. So he tells about this vision. He tells all what's going on. And you go to Acts chapter 14 or Acts chapter 11, verse 12. So he's telling the council what happened, and this is what he's telling them. The Spirit bade me go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into this man's house, Cornelius' house. And he showed us that he had seen an angel in his house, and he stood by him, and he said, "Send men to Joppa, call for Peter, who's named Simon, so-and-so." Verse 14, look at it. Who shall tell thee what?
Words.
Whereby thou and all thy house shall be what?
Saved.
You know what he did? He told him the word with regards to salvation. When he told him those words, he spoke those words. Cornelius, in turn, heard that word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was particular to salvation. Cornelius heard that word, believed that word, conceived in his spirit, and what happened? Got born again, and the evidence that he got born again is that he what? Spoke in tongues. See how simple that is? Faith cometh by how?
Hearing.
That's how it comes. Comes by hearing. Now, this is God's method of salvation faith. It's hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ pertaining to salvation. You hear it, you can believe it, faith comes. That's how faith comes. Faith comes for salvation that way. Okay, well, say you're born again. Say you want faith for healing. I got faith for salvation. I got born again. Now, I need faith for healing. I want to get on top of this. I need faith for healing. How does faith come?
By hearing the word of God.
Same principle. Same principle. Okay? Except it's the gospel specific to the ministry of what?
Healing
that has already been accomplished in who? At Calvary. Okay, that's easy to say. Let me show it to you in the scripture. Look at Acts chapter 14. These guys were preaching the word of God. Verse 7, talking about the Apostle Paul, I think, and Barnabas. They preached the what? How can they hear without a what?
Preacher.
Remember it?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're preaching, they're speaking what?
The word of God.
In Romans 10, where it says preach without a preacher, talk about salvation. But we're concerned about faith for healing now. Mm-hmm. Same principle. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
So they're preaching the gospel. And verse 8, there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb, who had never what? So this guy had a problem in walking. Not only did he have a problem in walking, he never walked. The same, verse 9, the same who? The same man who never walked. The same heard Paul what?
Speak.
Paul's doing what?
Speak.
What, when you speak what?
Words.
Faith cometh by what?
Hearing
what?
Words.
And the word of who?
God.
What do you think Paul was talking about?
Jesus.
He wasn't talking about the local special lunch at the market. He was speaking what? The word. That's what he was speaking. When he heard Paul speak. Now Paul, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul looked out and saw him in the audience, laid his eyes on him. He steadfastly beheld him. Their eyes met. You understand? That's what that means. Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Watch it. Said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped up. And he did what? Walking and praising and what?
Leaping.
God, right? Leaping, praising. Now, if you read over that, you think Paul healed that man. But that's not what the verse says. You know what the verse says? It says he perceived that he, the man, had faith to be healed. The man had faith to be healed. You know where that man got the faith to be healed from? Verse 9. Verse 9. What was verse 9 say? The same heard Paul what?
Speaking.
Because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what?
Word of God.
And that guy was sitting in the audience. And he was listening to Paul teach. And Paul was speaking the word of God. He was speaking the word of God about Jesus Christ. And he was speaking the word of God how Jesus Christ healed. And that the stripes laid on his back. And that by his stripes you were healed, past tense. You understand? And he was teaching all of these things. And that guy heard and heard and heard. And something happened magical in that guy, if I can use that word. Something happened spiritual. That's a better word in that guy. That word that he heard drifted down into his heart and conceived there. And you know what the result of it was? The birth of faith. And that guy was ready to receive. And you know what happened? He received his healing. You know how he received his healing? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It wasn't his faith. Something he had to do. Something he had to accomplish. It wasn't his works. It wasn't of himself. You understand? It was born in him. It was conceived in him. It was birthed in him because he heard the word and he believed it in his heart and it clicked. And then faith came. And then when faith like that comes, healing results. Because you connect with God on a personal level. You connect with Jesus on a personal level. Because that's how faith comes. Look at Mark chapter 5. Got it closed. Getting late. It's wonderful. It's the word of God, isn't it?
Yep.
You see, and it's simple. But people get it confused. It's something that they think they got to do. Listen, it's already been done for you. All you have to do is learn how to tap into it. Learn how to receive it. And you want faith for salvation? You hear it from the word of God. You want faith for healing? You hear it from the word of God. You want faith for your marriage? You want faith for your job? You want faith for peace? You want faith for this? The word. You find the word. You find the promise of the word because the word is incorruptible seed. And we know that the life is in the seed and everything after its own kind. The seed is the word of God. It's the promise. The promise is in the seed and the seed is the word of God. And it'll bring everything after its own kind. And it will grow of itself. You understand? Mark 5, verse 33. You all know this story. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told her all the truth. This woman had an issue of blood. Went to all the doctors. Got worse instead of better. Nobody could heal her. Okay? She went and she touched Jesus, the hem of his garment. And you know what happened? She got healed. Now watch it. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. You know what everybody teaches there? Oh, the woman had faith. She had faith. I am not disputing the truth that she had faith. What I want to know is, where did she get it? Hold it, hold it. What's the Bible say? How does faith come?
Hearing.
It comes by, and hearing by what?
Word of God.
Verse 27. Mm-hmm. When she had what?
Heard.
You know what the word heard is in the Greek? It's the Greek word akouo. You know what akouo means? It means to attend to consider what has been said, to understand, to perceive the sense of what is said. She heard. You know what she heard? She heard the words of Jesus. And the words of Jesus are the word of God. And if you want to have faith, hearing faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? And when Jesus was walking, and he was teaching, he said how wonderful God is. He said how wonderful his Father was. He said, I come to do the Father's will. And the will of God is for his people to be whole and healed. And that woman heard that. And at the moment she heard that, or words similar to that, you know what happened? It sunk down into her spirit and it conceived. And you know what the result was? A force rose up that was called faith. And then what you got to understand about faith is that you need to have corresponding action. The guy that was crippled Paul helped him with his corresponding actions. He said, get up. Walk out on your faith. This woman here, her corresponding action to the faith that was birthed inside of her by hearing the word of God was what? Touches. And then what did she have? She received the manifestation of that wholeness, right? Mm-hmm. You see? That's what happened. Can you get healed on somebody else's faith? Yeah, you can. If a man's operating in a ministry and he's walking in that power of God, you can get healed on his faith. But where did that faith come from that he has? Is it of himself?
No.
God gave it to him. God gave it to him. So it still comes from God. You understand? But it's better if you receive faith from hearing God's word and walk out and conceive, have it conceived in your spirit that way. You understand? Because then when you have that faith, it's yours. God doesn't take it back. You can walk in that faith. You are then a steward of that faith, and you can grow in that faith as you continue to study the word of God and act accordingly. You can have trust, you can have confidence, but faith, according to the scriptures, comes from God. It's a gift of God's grace to man. Now, once he gives it, it's yours. And what you do with it is your business, because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, the scripture says. So if he gives it to you, and anybody who's born again has a measure of faith. Everybody. And you know whose faith that is? It's not your faith. You know what Galatians says whose faith it is? It's the faith of who?
Jesus
Christ. It's not bargain bag faith. Okay? What's that big fancy store in New York at the Christmas holidays?
Macy's.
It's Macy's kind of faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. Okay? So, as you continue to feed upon the word, you will grow in faith, and you'll be able to receive the blessings that God made available to us as you walk out on it and believe it. That's a little bit about faith and what it is and how you get it. And you know what the good part is? It's free, because it costs so much. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for how much you love us. Thank you, Father, that you take care of us and that we got to stop trying to do everything ourselves. We have to stop depending on our prowess, our ability. It's not of ourselves. You've told us this over and over and over again, Father. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about his love, his blood, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his ascension, his giving of the Holy Spirit. It's all about him, Father. It's got nothing to do with us. We just get to go along for the ride because of your wonderful love and grace. We thank you, Father, for all the goodness that you have for us. And we thank you, Father, that we don't have to try so hard. We don't have to try so hard for something that's already been done and accomplished. Praise God, Father, that we get the lesson. It's already done and accomplished. It's just a matter of learning how to tap into it, not learning how to manufacture it. Not reinventing the wheel, Father. For who could give a better sacrifice than Jesus Christ? Who could outdo Jesus Christ? The answer is nobody, Father. No one. We got it all out of his sacrifice. You're not sending another sacrifice. We're not going to sacrifice, Father. He's the best. He's the one and the only. We thank you, Father, for how he loved us and he gave himself freely for us. And may we be humble and meek enough to come to your word to receive the fullness of what you have given us already in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.